Blog Talk Radio.
Let's say it together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, yeah. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's sit together, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
You got it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Declare and say,
to break every chain, break every chain, break every.
Now somebody lift your hands in the air right here.
There's an army.
We won't keep silent, say,
there's an army. There's an army. There's an army rising up.
Now shut up, sit up, break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Sit up, break. Woo! Breathe that out. Stay great. Break. Shame.
that's what I want God to do. Break every chain.
One simple but brilliant trick to heat your...
that has been placed on us, in our lives, around us. Father God, bring every chain, every one of them. Everything that's hindering us. Everything that's hindering the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, break every chain. I put myself in agreement with your word, Father God, that every chain be broken, every high thing be brought low, and every low thing be brought up. I thank you for it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am your servant, Louis Beasley, Apostle Jesus Christ. I was called by God's will and not man's will. So don't expect me to act like man, because that's not who called me. That's not what I'm about. I'm about doing God's will. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get back into this lesson. I'm excited about this lesson. I'm excited about the revelation that God is going to give. Oops, that's right. It's Thankful Thursday. Hallelujah. But we're thankful for everything, because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for being able to read and understand your word. We thank you for revelation knowledge, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and whose we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we have our being. It is in your word, Father God, that we live and we go to and fro. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for it. I praise you for it. I acknowledge you for it. Ask you, Heavenly Father, to open doors today. Open the blind eyes of those that can't see spiritually. Thank you, Father God, for those that will hear your word. And then I truly thank you for those that will do your word. And then I thank you, Father God, for those that's going to share your word. Because I know the enemy don't want everybody to share this revelation knowledge. But, Father God, I thank you that I'm able to do that one. I thank you for it and praise you for it. Ask you these blessings in Christ's name. And for his sake, we pray, amen. And everybody agreed, said amen. This is Thankful Thursday. So if anyone have anything you want to be thankful for, go ahead on and press one. We want to hear from you before we get started. Because if I get started, I don't know when I'm going to stop. Keeping it real. What they say, I'm keeping it 100 with you. So you, anyone like, we may come back around again, but right now, if you have something the Lord done put in your spirit, man, and you want to share, this is a good time to share. Hallelujah. We're operating in this new testament, in the new covenant, the new creation. Old things are passed away. We got to get past that. We got to understand God's new plan. God has a new plan, brothers and sisters. And the body of Christ have failed to operate in it. It have failed to come up to her responsibility. And it's time that we get into it. Hallelujah. We stop teaching all this old watered-down gospel. Make folks feel good gospel. Time out for that. You're such a miracle, and you don't even realize what a miracle you are. All you got to do is take that word to other most parts of the world. Hallelujah. And God will have you to do it. Trust me. He'll have you to take it there. Hallelujah. Okay. Anybody press one? Press one. Hallelujah. Let me begin by saying, because I'm going to pick up where I left off at, but I'm just led to tell you, brothers and sisters, little is being provided to believers about who they are as becoming regenerated or about their new birth. In most Bible studies, especially when it referred to as regeneration, are considered as being the same expression. Often in teaching and preaching, they are used as being reciprocal terms. In other words, the two events are closely related, yet there is a marked doctrine difference between. Now, let me explain to you what I'm trying to say. Because there's so much difference between true repentance and repentance until the enemy don't want you to see that. Why? Because of revelation knowledge. He wants us to think that repentance is, we'll give up this. I didn't give up smoking. I didn't get up whoremongering. So I repented. Man, forget that. That ain't repentance. Repentance is for religious people. It ain't for the sinner man. It ain't for the Gentile. The sinner man, Gentile, you need to give your life to the Lord. You ain't been practicing none of that. Instead of building churches and dedicating them to idol worshipers. No, that's religious people that does that. The sinner man going to open up in a pool hall or bowling alley or something along those terms. So he ain't repenting from nothing. But it's these people who've been making false gods. Buildings become their god. Conditions become their god. And they've left the plan of God and began to build their own. Paul put it like this. He said they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. What they did had not been based on the knowledge of Christ. It's been based on how they feel. That type of thing. What they thought, what grandmama said, what auntie said, their culture. They got all these reasons for doing what they do, but praise God. But true repentance is doing it God's way, okay? It's all of God dealing with mankind. But there's a divine side and a human side. This call, really, it could be seen in the scripture, in 2 Peter 1:21, we read that for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The human side of the relation of the scripture is seen in the phrase holy men, meaning that some men wasn't holy, but they were doing stuff. Holy men of God, they spake. The divine side of the revelation is in the phrase. And if you'll see it like that, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, there was a human side and a divine side of Jesus Christ. He was both God and man. In the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. That's St. John 1:1. That was the divine side of the Lord. The Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was the human side of Jesus. So there's a human side and a divine side to the experience of salvation. The human side, we will convert it, if you would say. But it's the spiritual side or the divine side that we call regenerated or regeneration spirit. And in order to reach that, we say, oh, we repented. But repent is when you stop doing it man's way or your way and say, you know, Lord, I need to do it your way, your will that I'm going to do. And I'm going to say something else. And then if no one else, press one, then we'll get into the lesson. Because Christianity has revealed the secret that I want to say scientists, theologians have long sought: the inward soul, the recreated spirit, the forces of God, great redemptive work on earth. Yes, the four gospels give us wonderful pictures of that lonely man of Galilee, that humble Messiah who walked in love, shed his precious blood for us. But the Pauline epistles give us the risen, triumphant one, the conqueror of death, the conqueror of sin, the conqueror of Satan. He provided the revelation of what happened on the cross and in the tomb, and how that it affected who and what we are in Christ. Paul gives us that. We are in Christ today. They never understood that. They never experienced that. So in the new creation, the reality is revelation of redemptive, and that's probably a good way to put it, it's the revelation of our redemptive, our redemption that took place in the redemptive work that done by Christ. So there is a deeper study into this, what I'm talking about, as far as God's plan. See, just if you can see an earthly sanctuary, you're in bad shape if you don't never see a spiritual sanctuary. So Paul opened that up in the New Testament. So the picture of this entire substitutionary work of Christ, he explained how accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, a new creation, I'm almost ready to say a candidate for the new creation, able to stand in the Father's presence without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. Jesus has settled the sin problem for true believers and make us the very righteousness of God. Now, when you can kind of get that and digest some of that and understand that this is about this redemptive work, it's about being a new creation. It's about God is reproducing himself in us now. That's what he's doing. And I mean, God showed me that even this morning. He said, this is the plan. I said, what's the plan? God said, it's the plan that I reproduce myself in people, those that love me. Remember the Bible said we are created in Christ Jesus. See, that's new, brothers and sisters. Christ Jesus is new. Before it was Jesus Christ. So only Paul really explains what this new creation is all about. Remember he says we are created in Christ Jesus. We are his creation. And until Christ is formed in us, brothers and sisters, the world will never see Christ, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. So at some point in time, and I'm about ready to go over there in Galatians, that just hit my mind. See, we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, remember that's what he said. Paul said, we're crucified with him. Nevertheless, it's Christ living us, not us. Now, so what you see is God reproducing little Jesus is in us, little Christ is in us. But like I said on yesterday, 2 Peter 3:18 says, we got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we must be doing. It's time that we begin to grow, brothers and sisters, into this way of thinking, into the riches are in the Pauline revelation. And over in Ephesians 3 and 8, excuse me, we catch a glimpse of Paul saying, unto me who am least, then the least of all saints, excuse me, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Man, if we ever get onto something, get onto that, brothers and sisters. Get onto that. That's powerful. You'll get to know how much God loved us, how much he cared for us, how much he wants us to be like him. Now, and now that I look at scriptures, I see it differently. I see why he wanted us to have faith, because that's how he operated. That's what pleased him. That's where he created things. And for us to be able to create that image that's in us, we have to operate in faith. And then you really began to see his grace. Remember, we talked about it yesterday. I don't know if we left off there or not. But we're in 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So if you're not connected to the spirit of God, you won't know the things of God. That's what revelation is all about. That's what Paul was teaching the church about, who you are in Christ now. And please let me tell you this. That 12th verse, remember it said, now we are revealed. What it said, now we have received not the things of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given unto us of God. God gave us this so we could be like him, so he could reproduce himself in us. And I just love Colossians 1, 9 and 10. This knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding is to enable us to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's because he creating himself in us, reproducing himself in us. That's what's going on, man. That's God's overall plan. It hadn't changed from day one, but we just couldn't see it like that. Sin bombarded us in such a way, and Satan, until we never see God giving us righteousness. We just forgot the whole idea of Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Where did that go? God didn't stop that. What you thought one sin here that God, no, that was never God's plan. It's always been God's plan to reproduce us and make us like him. It's always been his plan, and I won't get into it today, but one day we're going to talk about that the three parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all had separate parts. They all had, but they was all one. It didn't matter. And remember, that was Jesus' prayer, that we be one as he and the Father is one. But when God the Father came off the scene, then God the Son came on the scene. When God the Son went off the scene, then God the Holy Spirit came off the scene. They was all working for the same purpose, for the same goal. So your life have been going through a lot of different changes. Physical, spiritual. You've been going through all these different changes, and you've been learning and growing. And the Bible says over there in Ephesians 4, I believe, until we all come to that full stature, the measure of Christ. That's what God wants. That's it. His plan. Can I say that one more time? His plan is that we be reproduced like God, reproducing himself in us. So, you know, we're learning the things of the Spirit. We understand that there's a 2-4 walk. One phrase of it is before the Father. The other is before the world. We might say that it is 2-4 walk. I like to think that anyway. But I'm walking worthy of my calling. I'm walking worthy of the Lord before man. So they will recognize this new life in us. I am so Jesus. If we could some kind of way coin it the word, that they will become Jesus conscious in the present. See, that's what the church needs to know. Somehow, some way, we want everybody to become Jesus conscious. Consciousness, awareness. I like to say Jesus conscious in the present. See, everybody will when we get, no, right now. It's necessary. It's so necessary. It's so necessary. And we got to understand, brothers and sisters, you can cry all you want to. That ain't going to make this happen. You have to become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I'm going to share another scripture. And if anybody have any scripture they want to be thankful for, anything they want to be thankful for, we still open. Okay, but in Philippians, because see, if you're still looking at the boy Jesus, you done missed it. If you're still looking at Jesus hanging on the cross, you missing it. If you're still looking at Jesus around a dinner table with a bunch of guys, you're missing it. See, everybody wants you to see Jesus in the flesh. How about in the spirit? How about we being recreated like him? Because God wants to reproduce himself. That's what he did with Jesus. He reproduced himself in Jesus, and Jesus gave us the plan, the format, if you will, the blueprint to how we're to be. But anyway, I read over there in Philippians 1:21. He said, for me to live is Christ. Once those words really burnt in my heart for the moment, I mean, that's been burning in me. I know folks use this scripture during funerals, but listen, brothers and sisters, for me to live is Christ. Once those words really began to sink in you, you're gonna see this whole master plan differently. I just wanted to manifest that. I wanted to magnify that so people could see what that really is about. Matter of fact, once I saw that, I wanted to possess that dream, that dream that took fear away. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. In other words, as long as I'm living, you're going to see God reproducing himself in me. You're going to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. As long as I'm living, God is reproducing himself in me. Hallelujah. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'll never forget the voice that God said to me, I love you, my son. Tears to my eyes. And when I read Proverbs right now, it brings tears in my eyes that God want me to be like him. He said, my son. And I see that differently. Those are not just words. That's personal to me. When your parent call you their child, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine your mother said to you, come on, daughter. Come on, son. But you ought to hear that voice. It ain't nothing like when your mama say, come on, daughter. I guarantee you right now, if some of you all, instead of calling your child by their name, whatever it is, Mary, Susan, whatever, call them by their name. Instead of calling them, call them your child. That's my child right there. Acknowledge they're part of you, and you're part of them. Powerful. To know that you reproduce that. Yeah. Or you produced it, and God is reproducing it, because that's why we got to get born again. So we can be like God. So God can reproduce himself in us, because in me, without being reproduced, God reproducing himself, I'm just a bees head. But now, praise God, I'm a child of God because he called me his child. Got my attention when he said my son. Go and put your arms around your daughters and tell the world, this is my daughter. It changed the whole mood. This my son. That boy gonna say, yeah, daddy. He could have been calling you Mr. Frank, Mr. Willie. But he gonna say, yes, daddy. It's a different man. It's a big difference. But I'm gonna say this. And because I know it may be difficult for some people. The master want to lift you up to where you belong. One day I said, Master, I will go with you. Here I'm taking a leap of faith into that grace. I recognize something in just saying that. Because you love me, I'm going to love you back. But I need your help. God said, I'm here for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the world. So I asked God, help me live that life I'm reading about. Help me to be part of that plan that you want to reproduce yourself in us so I can tell the people. I want people to know, Lord, that you're in me. That when I'm speaking, they will hear your voice, not mine, but they'll hear yours. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick. Not my hands is your hands. And then I heard the Lord say this, Galatians 2:20. See, that's what I say. Paul made it real clear. Oh, you want this kind of life? Here's what has to happen. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then I went, oh, yeah, boy, that's it right there. That's the master. I can trust in him. I can give myself up to him now. I don't have any worries. I know it can be done. So that's part of my prayer. That's what I'm thankful for, is that I know God can manifest himself right through us. He will do our part. See, you got to do your part, and then God does his part. That's the way that works. Jesus said, give me the fish, and I'll multiply. They said, Jesus, we need to pay the taxes. That was their part to tell Jesus. Jesus' part would say, go down there and look in the fish mouth. You got a part to do, and he got a part to do. You do your part. Their part was to go and wake up Jesus, and Jesus was to teach him a lesson. Rebuke the wind and tell the sea, peace be still. Brought about a great calm. You got a part to do, and he has a part to do. If you'll surrender, if you're crucified to flesh, you'll see a new man start living in you. And that man is Christ Jesus. You'll see a lot of other stuff start happening to you as well. Sometimes you got to come quietly in your heart. Your life is to be hid in Christ. We have to come to a place that we'll say, yes, Master. Yes to the Lord. Yes to him. Then he began to reveal himself in us. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not forced upon anyone. It's not being forced upon us. He doesn't drive it on us. He doesn't force it on us. He doesn't force sickness or loss of property. He don't force that stuff on us. Then sickness come because we were unaware that he shielded us. No. I know some of us are inclined to believe a lot of this stuff, even just to the weather. Satan is over. He's the god of this world, man. Adam gave that power over to him because Adam was just like God. Yeah, God had made him like that. He made him just like him. What you thought Genesis 1:26 ain't real? God made him in his image? Well, what you thought he was going to be like? Like God, man. He could do God stuff. So what he gave over to Lucifer was the God ability that God had given him. That's what I say. We got to start cheating ourselves. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we got 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore. You can see this being formed, this Christ being formed in us, if you look at it closely. That's the secret right there. The new creation, therefore. And the more I understand the word therefore, I see it now, Lord. I see what your plans is for now. Your plan is that we be like you, really like you. You want to reproduce yourself in us. I'm going to leave right there. And anyone have any, man, I'll be honest with you guys, it's kind of hard to stop right there because that is that perfectness that Satan don't want us to see. That perfectness, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you finna become like God. Satan ain't gonna tell you that. Preachers won't tell you that. They usually say, you'll stop drinking, you'll stop this, you'll stop that. See, and they don't tell the whole, they don't know it. They don't have the revelation. So when they read that, they don't read that like that. They don't see that. Man, you're going to become like Christ. You're going to be a new creature. They can't even explain what it is. So he didn't say a new man. He said new man, then you'd be looking for something. But he didn't say that. A new creation. No! Something totally different than your mind can even comprehend. Can't stomach it because you don't know it. That's why God kept these hidden things. These are hidden things. These are some of his secrets that he wanted to reveal in us, that we can be just like him, top to bottom, head to toe. It is perfect. As far as it's going to get on this earth. But he want to build himself more fully into this new creation. So he takes the things of Christ that are unveiled to us in the word. And the spirit began to build them into us. Yes, I know we admire them and we go, oh man, what a word. But brother and sister, he wants us to be that. He wants us to have his strength. But you ain't heard that lately. He wants you to have the strength of Christ. He wants you to be just like Christ. Everything Christ, you ever read about Christ did it, he said, I want you to do it. That's thrilling to me. That God wants us to have that same ability. Did I tell you he wants you to have his wisdom? Well, if you got all this God stuff, how can you help but not to act like him? But it comes with crucifying the flesh. I'm saying this and I'm done for real. Once the glass is full, you done filtered to the brim. You can't put nothing else in it till you empty it out. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Empty out some of that foolishness. Empty out some of that selfishness. Empty out some of that garbage. Especially some of that religious stuff. Get that stuff out of you so you can have room for the new stuff. I hope that's making sense to you. And if you think you already got it, cool. I ain't got nothing to tell you. Because the Bible says a fool have said in his own heart. I just don't want you to be bewitched. I just don't want you to be fooled. God got so much more for you, so much more for us, so much more for the body of Christ. Eyes haven't even seen it yet. Ears haven't even heard about this stuff. Because God is revealing it to his children on a day-to-day basis. So every day with the Lord, he began to uncover some things. God said, this is my plan. It's always been my plan to reproduce myself in you, just like a parent. When you have children, you want to put the best you can in that. That's why we got so many spoiled brat children right now. We have spent all the money on them to give them stuff we didn't have. Preach, I'm trying to do the best I can. You didn't have a car at 16, but you done got them a Cadillac at 16. You didn't have a bicycle. And you giving them convertibles. You apartment, what? You went out and furnished it for them when they was 18. Well, I don't want them to come up like I did. Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother. Just don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to show you, if you got that kind of spirit that you want the best for, how much you think God? I mean, come on, huh? Come on. Help me. And you sit up and say, oh, I didn't do that for my children. You're lying. I'll tell you to your face, you're lying. Some of y'all did stuff your mama and your dad and your grandmama never thought of doing for you. Even if they could afford it, they found a reason not to do it. But now, in your heart, you want that child to have the best education. You want to have the best shoes. Anything new coming out. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. I want you to hear what I'm saying. If you can act like that, what makes you think God don't act like that? Huh? There you go. I'm going to close it right there. Anybody have anything you want to share? Press 1. Press 1. I let you in. Say your piece. Anyone. Hallelujah. Press 1. All right, it's Thankful Thursday. I'm going to do a countdown. 15 more seconds. 13 more seconds. 6 more seconds. Okay. Well, if not, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon.